top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. And once again, I'm joined by my special guest, Garrett O'Coleman. We have been working on having him on the broadcast for months. And so I'm very excited about that. If you follow his research, his commentary, and his investigative journalism, then as I said before, you know he needs no introduction. Irish journalist based in Paris who provides objective, on-point, lucid commentary and provocative in a good way, should get the wheels turning. I know it has for me. And so it's always very informative, in my opinion, and trustworthy. I think that, a couple of things that come to my mind when I think of you, Garrett, are the fact that you are a trustworthy and reliable source of information because of that objectivity that we've talked about. But because you don't try to impose anything on the information, you look at it, I think, the situations or the incidents and their complexity, as you've mentioned, the dynamics, and you just talk about it for what it is. And that's very unique in this age of increasing propaganda. But during the break,
people are not prepared to question their own prejudices and their own beliefs, and you've got to be, if you're prepared to constantly question your own beliefs, then you can make some progress. You're never going to know everything. You're never going to be able to do the definitive analysis of everything, because reality keeps changing, and you may have to go back and revise a lot of your views. But if you have a more dialectical approach, I try to take a dialectical approach to things, and you have to kind of see that reality is constantly changing, and what was real today is no longer, what was true today or is no longer going to be true tomorrow. With terror events now, the big question is what happened. I mean, I think you only have to look at, you don't even need to look at the activities of intelligence agencies and terrorist groups and the collusion between those two entities in Western societies. You only have to look at what they're doing to Syria, or what they did to Libya, or what they did to the Central African Republic, or Cameroon, or Nigeria, or many other countries, or Eastern, Western China, rather. You could go and look at what Western intelligence agencies are doing there in terms of collusion with terrorist groups to understand that ISIS is not an entity attacking the West. It's a tool of the West. It's a tool of Western imperialism. So that is abundantly clear. And we have extensive admissions by key actors in the political and military establishment in the West to prove that. We have extensive reports that have been validated from officials in different governments, from the Iraqi government, for example, of weapons delivery to ISIS by the US and Britain. We have French special forces who were caught fighting alongside Boko Haram in Cameroon. Yeah. They were repatriated by the Cameroon military. This is known. It's pretty much, it's pretty much clear that if the US had wanted to destroy ISIS, the US could have gotten rid of them in 24 hours. They have enough firepower. They have enough capability to destroy any ad hoc army, particularly something like ISIS. They could have eliminated ISIS within hours. And if they were really fighting ISIS, they would be sending weapons to Assad and justifying sending weapons to Assad. And they would be, sending weapons to, they would be cooperating with the Russians and the Iranians. And that would be the end of it. That we would be talking about the reconstruction of Syria. It would be over, if they were fighting ISIS. So we don't even need to look at, what they're doing in the West to understand that they support terrorism. So then when there is an attack in the West, the question is not, is this an outside force that is attacking us? This is a force that is trying to attack Western imperialism. That is not the question. The question is, are these, there's two possibilities. This is a blowback. In other words, this is the forces that they've been supporting in the Middle East and other countries are now turning on their masters. It's always possible that they turn on them. Of course, it's a possibility. Is it a likelihood? I don't think so. I don't think it's even a likelihood, because I don't think they would support them if they felt that they were capable of threatening their interests to that extent. And we also have to consider that the attacks, when they happen, actually serve the interests of the Western political establishment. Absolutely. Rather than sabotage those interests. It's not as if this is not good for Manuel Valls and François Hollande. It's always good because it reinforces the state. The only backfiring here, the only backfiring that you're beginning to see, and this is the good thing, this is the good news, is that the French government, after the attack in Nice, tried to destroy all evidence of the attack. Of course, there's very little video evidence. There's no evidence of the massacre. All you see is a truck that's damaged in the front, That's it. You see some bodies strewn on the ground. Some of those bodies, from some videos I've seen, they certainly don't look real. But I'm not going to say they're dummies. But people have made that thing. They could be just dummies. But again, I'm not even suggesting that this was a hoax, because I really don't understand how they could do that. I just don't. It's easier to believe that the massacre took place than that it didn't, even though I don't have enough evidence to say that the massacre took place. So you got to just got to be open minded and say, well, let's see, maybe some more evidence, video evidence, will come out to prove that it did take place and it was a terrible massacre of 84 people. At least we'd know that much. We still have the question of who did it and why and how. But once the what is kind of sorted out, that'll be the first thing. But the French government wanted to destroy all CCTV footage of the attack. And now the local authorities in Nice have said that they will not cooperate with that order. So you are now a situation where you have a rebellion by the local authorities in Nice against the central French government, which is incredible. That's a very significant development, because it means that this could become a major political crisis in France, and this is where the backfiring is taking place. If you like, this is where things could really be going wrong for the people driving the war on terror.
Absolutely, and speaking of the video, I mean, so many things come to mind. When you talk about Syria, for example, or ISIS, excuse me, just the kind of the absurdity, the patent absurdity of John McCain being photographed with Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and, elements of the Free Syrian Army back in May of 2013. And suddenly, as you said, if the West really wanted to do away with this interest, then, McCain is pictured with them, and suddenly they're inaccessible and unfindable, which is, it's just patently absurd. And as you said, I mean, kind of the operative motto is the old African proverb, when elephants wrestle, the grass gets hurt. And so as these interests are wrestling, as you pointed out, the same elements are served regardless of the conflict. It's that managed chaos and, the old ordo ab chao, MO being served once again. But, speaking of the Nice video, and you wrote about that, folks can find your article. I forget which one that was, but speaking of the, what was it? Not the. You've written a couple of great pieces, by the way. I mentioned the one earlier, the Nice attack, French intelligence failure, Zionist agenda. That was a great piece. The one that I really appreciated, that I think everyone should read.
Oh, that was for American Herald Tribune. Yeah, the American Herald Tribune was
Denise attack, things we dare not think about.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was a fantastic article. And just, if I may, to give folks kind of an idea, I usually highlight, you know, articles that I read, and most of that one, like all of the ones that you write, most of it, the majority of my copy is highlighted. And you mentioned in that article that just the, you know, to summarize or to paraphrase, the similarities to the Nice incident and
well, there's a similarity between the Nice incident and Munich, for example. I mean,
yeah.
For example,
and the Bataclan and Orlando.
I mean, it's the role. It's this constant presence of key actors in the Zionist movement that you see in all of these attacks. And for example, in the Bataclan attack, you had Times of Israel reporting that the Jewish community in France were warned about it. Then they took the article down, but they did publish that article claiming that they had been given pre-warnings. We know from extensive research that Jewish people working in the Twin Towers were warned that day about an impending attack. We know that the Mossad was running a massive intelligence operation, in a espionage operation on U.S. territory leading up to the 9/11 attacks. It was, in fact, the biggest foreign espionage operation in U.S. history, modern U.S. history. It's incredible, you know, a foreign state spying on a country that is actually using, billions of dollars of tax money to fund them. Of course, then you have the presence of key protagonists in the media coverage of the Nice attacks.
So, Richard Gutjahr.
Yeah, Richard Gutjahr is this German journalist. He's also involved in acting. He's a mysterious character. He specializes a lot in snapshot, device. What's it called?
Snapshot journalism, which to me is an oxymoron.
Yeah. So he specializes a lot in snapshot, and also. He gives conferences on data protection, a lot of stuff to do with intelligence, funnily enough. And he probably does know a lot about the intelligence agencies because his wife was a former Mossad agent. She's a major Israeli politician.
If there is such a thing as former, right? And not Wilf.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, she served, it's on her records, on her public record, that she served in Israeli intelligence, and she's still a major figure in the Zionist movement. She's in at Wilf. She's been on most news networks. She's close to Benjamin Netanyahu. This is someone, I think, who was a former candidate for the World Zionist Congress, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
For the president's presidency of that. So, you know, this is as I described in the article, she's a rising star in the world of Zionism. Not a marginal figure by any means, but someone who's very, very central to Zionist war in the world. And she's married to this guy, you know. So this guy is Gutjahr is there on the balcony, and he, you know, gives an interview to German TV. He may live in Munich, so it's possible that it was a coincidence that he was home from his holiday and he was back in Munich, the Munich attack happened. But you know, it's we can't prove that it wasn't a coincidence. So he's at the attack again in Munich, he's there quite, you know, he's there within minutes of the attack. He's tweeting that he's outside the Olympia Einkaufszentrum, the Olympia shopping mall. Now, a few things on the Munich attack. The Munich attack took place in the Olympia shopping mall. And first thing I thought of was the Olympic massacre of 1972.
Right.
Where, 11 Israelis are killed, reportedly. Again, say reported because, you know, with terrorist attacks, there's nothing you can be sure about. You always have to qualify and say, well, you know, we assume that's what we assume to be the case. By two terrorists, Abu Nidal and a guy called Lafitte, or Laviv, sorry. I keep forgetting his first name.
Speaking of the false opposition that we kind of touched on earlier,
the other guy Lutif Aviv. Lutif Aviv. So Abu Nidal and Lutif Aviv are the two culprits in this, and they're linked to an organization called Black September, which is a kind of an offshoot of the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization. It appears that the PLO had never really heard of Black September. This is a rogue network within the PLO, right? Abu Nidal is a Mossad agent. He's basically a double agent, a nutcase. I think the Libyans Gaddafi supported him at one stage, and Gaddafi subsequently admitted that they'd made a mistake, that they didn't realize that he was a double agent. I'm not sure of that, but I think I read that somewhere. Lutif Aviv, his mother was Jewish. It's no question but that he was also a double agent. He would be considered Jewish by virtue of that fact, for he could have citizenship in the Israeli state, because they're very strict, the Israelis, on what constitutes a Jew. It's not a religious thing. You have to have a certain type of, blood relation, or they have these extremely racist conditions for qualification to be considered a Jew, and so on. So these two double agents carried out the 1972 Munich Olympic massacre. It did a lot to blacken the name of the Palestinian struggle, to criminalize the PLO.
To kind of paraphrase what you're saying on that, it was clearly it's known historically now as a false flag event that was staged by Zionist intelligence operatives, basically, which is why you're mentioning Abu Nidal.
Yeah, so this is a Mossad operation, which is designed to
exactly
criminalize the PLO.
Yep.
And this is their remedy.
We're actually headed into a break, so let's pick up there when we come back. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back after the short break with my special guest, Geirte Kolmein.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
All right, welcome back.
Please remember, I still want.
Welcome back. Joined once again by my special guest, Garrett Coleman. I wanted to just touch on, you know, just real quick in this short segment. Speaking of the coincidences, we talked about, you mentioned Richard Gutjahr. You talked a little bit about Annette Wolf, his wife, and folks can look into that history themselves. And It's uncanny that, you know, these coincidences. You know, Gutjahr was the journalist who filmed his video footage is the primary footage that has been used in the coverage of the Nice attack, the Bastille Day attack.
Well, it's impossible to prove that it wasn't a coincidence.
Sure.
That he was in Munich, because I gather that he lives in Munich or he's from Munich.
Yeah,
Munich,
so that's my understanding too.
He may have gone home from his holiday and suddenly he gets wind of an attack and he's there, you know, he's there in a few minutes or whatever. He can always claim that was the case. But I think, the thing about Gutjahr is that he's... he doesn't seem to be too bothered by the things I'm bothered by. I mean, I want to find out what happened and who was behind it.
Right.
Whereas he, you know, I mean, where's the evidence of the attack? I just want to see something that, you know, sort of puts
exactly.
me at ease.
Like you reported, you know. Yeah, you hope to see those articles and videos and so forth, but the truck has no evidence of...
No, there's no evidence of... I'm sure the evidence is there, or it must. I presume it's there that somebody has an actual footage, and then there must be more evidence of that of the massacre. I mean, 84 people—that's a lot of killing. 303 people injured. That's a serious slaughter.
Yeah.
With all of the, you know, the mobile technology you have now, and mobile phones and iPhones and. You would have expected more people taking out their phones and photographing people on the streets with limbs, sort of. You know, I mean, we could see this when for example, if you compare that attack to the attacks we look at regularly in Syria, even just on the reports that we get from the international press, you can see, you know, people on the sidewalk with their limbs blown off. You know, or if you look at when the Israelis bomb Gaza, you see that, you know, you see people, you know, blown to bits. You can actually see the real thing. You can really see evidence of a massacre. We need to see evidence of a massacre if we're to believe it. They can't expect us to believe things without showing us the evidence. Once they show the evidence, I'll certainly be the first to say, yes, I think we can, you know, definitely say that this type of massacre took place. And
well,
then once we have that clear, we can then talk about, well, how did it take place? And that's another question. How did it happen?
Exactly.
You know, possible. We still can't get out of the fact that the French government is responsible no matter what happened, because the French government is serious. That's certain.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Bottom of the second hour. Coming up right after this short break. Folks, stick around. More from my special guest, Gerardo Colmain, right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
All right, welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, July 25th, 2016. And once again, I'm joined by my special guest, Gerrita Coleman. Fantastic investigative journalist and Irish journalist based in Paris, who has provided, as I have mentioned, lucid and provocative in a good way commentary on geopolitical events. And I would encourage the listeners to check out your website, GerritaColeman.org, and that's spelled GerritaColeman.org. And we should maybe talk about that for just a second before we get back into what we're talking about. The fact that you are promoting what is typically known as citizen journalism or grassroots journalism is something I think folks should understand, and they can go to your website and make a donation and help support your investigative journalist efforts.
Well, I think that the role of a citizen journalist, that the person who sets up a YouTube video, his own station or blog or website, this is something that you really must be encouraged, and people should more people should get involved with that. Because it's something that is transforming the pace of analysis. It's just, there's so much information out there within hours of an attack. You've got people who are spending a lot of time doing that, and that's important work. You know, sometimes they come up with very important information. I just got someone on social media contacted me with information from Germany about the Munich attack last night, and there's a lot of videos there that I'm looking into. This is the kind of thing, you know, people in the information age, when everybody has an iPhone and everybody has a laptop, everybody can be a journalist, and everybody should be, you know, a kind of a journalist. Everybody should become not just a consumer of information, but also, you know, a commentator on information. Because that's essentially what is required in a democratic society, that the citizenry are alert, they're awake, they're critical, and that people share and exchange information. You know, so that's something that we need to see more of. Get people out of the brainwashing zone of passive consumption of information, like sitting down and watching CNN or corporate news, towards, you know, actively looking for information, using the tools of the internet to look for information and to share that information on social media and discuss it and think about it. At least if you're doing that, it means that you can't be fooled. You know, you can't be fooled all the time. And at least you're you have some kind of a critical analysis of what's happening. That's absolutely vital, you know, instead of having narratives. I mean, if you look at the Munich attack, it's the video itself I looked at last night is problematic. The video that was released.
Absolutely.
Some guy across the road is filming this guy who appears, and I stress the word, he appears out of nowhere in front of the McDonald's. It just looks like he's kind of like a character from one of Beckett's plays. He sort of jumps out of the bin, and he doesn't seem to come, like, he doesn't actually come from inside the restaurant. He doesn't open the door and come out. He doesn't.
Materializes, but yeah, materializes. Yep.
And he appears there, and then I noticed, if you watch the video carefully, if you watch it a few times, there's a few people who start running before he opens fire, and they start running towards him. They're running in the wrong direction. Now, unless somebody's chasing them, another shooter or something. It's bizarre because he's standing in front of McDonald's. He hasn't opened fire yet. I don't think he's even taken out the gun. You see these people are actually running around him and away from him. And why? I mean, the guy hasn't even pulled the gun yet. It's you know, you don't see anything after that. You know, you just hear gunfire, but you don't see anything because the camera, you know, pans out or whatever. But like what kind of evidence is that? I mean, it's just all we see is a video that doesn't really, it's not very convincing.
And that's what we're usually left with these incidents. We have glaring inconsistencies in the official footage, if there ever is any, and there typically isn't. And you know, speaking of the uncanny coincidences that we see, I mean, it's conjectural. I'll grant it's conjectural, but I did want to touch on real quick. You know, we mentioned Richard Gutjahr and his filming of the Nice incident. I'm just calling them incidents these days. I'm not even calling them attacks because
exactly. The only thing you can say with certainty is that there was an incident and it's being considered, and the incident is of political significance. That's
absolutely. You know? Absolutely. So speaking of that, you know, the uncanny coincidences and provocative coincidences, you have Gutjahr in Nice, you know, getting some R&R, and that's fine. But, you know, he happens to be filming, just happens to be filming on the balcony of his hotel when the incident occurs. And then he's back home. As you pointed out, I it's my understanding that he lives in Munich as well, but he's there, and within minutes he's on the scene at the McDonald's where that incident took place, and he just happens to be married to Einat Wolf, and her
extensive intelligence background. You know, if you look into her education and so forth, is again uncanny. It calls to mind, as we discussed in the break, in my mind anyway, it calls to mind the Patrick Nello connection at the Charlie Hebdo attacks, mm-hmm. and then Paris attacks, and the fact that Patrick Pelu was a contributor at Charlie Hebdo originally, and then was an emergency. He was one of the first responders on scene, and he was the guy that actually said in a radio interview, "We were fortunate because we were conducting a live drill the morning of the attacks." Yeah. And these kinds of uncanny coincidences just make me think of.
We had that in 2005 and
right seven, London 7/7 bombings. Yeah,
with the director Visor Consultants came out on
exactly
these and said, you know, we were conducting a terrorist operation.
Luckily,
the same scenario, the same place at the same time. You know, the anti-terrorist drill is always something to look out for.
When these guys show up at the different situation, it reminds me of Mike Rogers, Congressman Mike Rogers' words back in 2012 when he was interviewed regarding the ridiculous eventually proven false White House narrative that, you know, a bunch of radicals watched a YouTube video and halfway around the world decided to attack an embassy outpost hundreds of miles, 500 or 600 miles away from the actual embassy, the U.S. embassy in Libya. But Congressman Mike Rogers, who was then the House Intelligence Committee chairman and a former FBI agent, when he was asked about the ridiculous White House narrative, the initial narrative, he said the first thing you learn, and the coincidence is, he said the first thing you learn as a young FBI agent is there are coincidences, but they're not likely, and there are a lot of coincidences about this event. So while I concede that these events are, you know, the coincidences are conjectural, it starts to defy statistical probability when you stack up the number of coincidences in each one of these incidents.
Of course. I mean, the thing about it is that I mentioned in my article about for American Herald Tribune that the Israelis are on record admitting conducting false flag terrorist operations in France. They conducted. They bombed a factory that was making nuclear parts for a nuclear reactor, in which the French were building in Iraq at the time. And
speaking of nuclear and Israel and admitted false flag, you know, that's what Stuxnet was. A collaborative effort between.
So they've admitted, and then they bombed the factory in France and blamed it on ecologists at the time. So it was a false flag attack, blamed on ecologists. And then they sent out death threats to the families, the engineers and their families, the French engineers and their families who were working on the Iraqi reactor. And they sent those death threats out in the name of an Islamist organization. It was an Islamist, you know, terrorist group. And they admitted this on camera. The actual Mossad agents involved in it were interviewed by the French documentary makers, and they admitted, you know, that they carried it out. So so this is a state that has admitted carrying out false flag terrorist attacks. So it is logical to be suspicious of the activities of agencies. International agencies linked to that state. And here in the Nice attack, we have evidence of that. In the Charlie Hebdo, we have evidence of that. And we certainly have evidence of that in the Bataclan attacks. I don't think you can ignore. I think anybody who ignores this is either too cowardly to face up to the truth or dishonest, you know, deliberately being dishonest. I think that when you see the facts, you see this pattern, and you have to face up to that, because if we don't, the war on terror will become all-encompassing. It will ruin our lives. It will create a permanent state of fear and war,
and it will ruin
our standard of living, and it'll deprive people in most countries of what they need to survive. And what they need to survive is social hope. If you don't have social hope, you cannot, you know, get married, have a family. Social hope is based on the idea that things are going to get better. Things are going to be better next year. There's going to be, the economy is going to pick up. My kids are going to have a better future. This kind of thing. What we're seeing now with austerity and the war on terror is young people don't have a sense of hope in the future. You know, it's so that's a really terrible thing. And of course, we're seeing all the consequences of that. The demographic deficit in major in advanced Western countries, Germany, Italy, many other countries in Europe, where the fertility rate has gone way down. Women can't have kids because they're working, they're too stressed out, and so you're having one child or maybe none at all. This is a major civilizational crisis we're going through right now. And the only way to solve it is to look at the causes of it. You know, when the Jewish community internationally realized that the Zionist project is really not even in their long-term interest, because they're not going to benefit. How can they benefit from this in the long term? I mean, they would be much better off putting their energy into resolving the problem with their Palestinian neighbors by ending the occupation. And I think that the long term solution for Israel is one state, not two states, but one democratic state where Jews and Arabs would cooperate, would just agree to live together in a democratic state. That would change the whole world, you know, political scene, I think.
I think if we could just honor the words of the Balfour Declaration, the words, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. I think those words from the Balfour Declaration that Carol Quigley actually revealed was written by Lord Alfred Milner and not Arthur James Balfour. But, you know, those words, mixing the oil and water over the last, you know, century or so in that region for, you know, ostensibly mixing them for clandestine and you know, these same surreptitious purposes that we're talking about here that have continued is a recipe for disaster, clearly. And these contrived, fomented conflicts that we see stemming from this provocational mixture, it's not surprising. It's unfortunate that, again, you know, we're conflating, or we're led to conflate these complicated issues in the mainstream or by the mainstream press, unfortunately. But I think, you know, if we could just honor those words, I think it's interesting, you know, you see those words, and ever since the Balfour Declaration was issued back in 1917, those words have never been honored. The religious, civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine have been prejudiced ever since that time. So that's obviously going to be a flashpoint when that happens.
I mean, I think that, you know, the problem here is that you have, if you look at the alternate, let's say the alternative media or the independent media, the non-corporate media, I think, a lot of it there's some excellent stuff out there. You know, some great writers, some great websites and media outlets. But there is a strong Israeli hegemony in the corporate press and in the alternative media. And that sort of something doesn't point it out.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Final segment already coming up right after this short break. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with my special guest, Gerda Coleman.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
Welcome back.
She's all alone.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, July 25th, 2016. Joined once again by my special guest, Gerda Coleman, in Hayek's The Road to Serfdom, published back in 1944, I want to say, originally, in reflection of World War II and the elements that gave rise to the axis of evil and so forth. In chapter 11, titled The End of Truth, Hayek wrote, there is no real freedom of thought in our society, so it is said, because the opinions and tastes of the masses are shaped by propaganda, by advertising, by the example of the upper classes, and by other environmental factors which inevitably force the thinking of the people into well-worn grooves. And I think we've kind of touched on the same sentiment here. I have appreciated very much having you on the broadcast, Gerard, and I'd like to point folks to your website again so that they can find you there, follow you, support your efforts, and read some of the articles. There's so much that we could go over. I feel like we've just barely scratched the surface. If I could mention a couple of the articles, maybe a few that are fantastic. We've talked around, but haven't mentioned specifically, or certainly not enough. The article you wrote a few days ago titled "French Government Orders Destruction of CCTV Videos in Nice Attacks." Again, speaking of one of those uncanny coincidences, there's that controversy between state and local government forces, and it's reassuring that local forces are resisting the call to destroy the video evidence, something that they pointed out was illegal. And that's a fantastic article. The article titled "Denise Attack, French Intelligence Failure, a Zionist Agenda." Fantastic article. They all are. And as you mentioned, your American Herald Tribune article titled "Denise Attack, Things We Dare Not Think About." That one, I would strongly encourage folks to read post haste. And your journalistic style there is it's just fantastic. It's very informative, but also very engaging and very reflective and provocative, as I said. So thanks for coming on the broadcast.
Thanks a lot. Great to be on. Look forward to talking again.
Folks, you can follow Gerard O'Coleman at his website. Again, it's GerardO'Coleman.org, GerardO'Coleman.org. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I can't believe we're already out of time. But I hope it was.
Talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Gerard. I appreciate it. That'll do it.
All the best.
You too. Hope it was informative. As always, folks, it's an honor and a pleasure. Stay tuned for Dr. Deagle. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.